It's time for the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from this past week's message.
Hello and welcome to the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from Sunday's sermon. My name is John Kelly. I'm the discipleship minister here at Catalyst, and this is Rob Harlemert, our youth minister. This week's main thing was, peace is changing, my will be done to thy will be done. Dave spoke on this yesterday. What were your thoughts just going into this Sunday and seeing the outline and seeing where Dave was going?
Well, not looking at the outline, before he was just mentioning what he was going to talk about, Dave always does this. He always goes in a direction that I'd never think that he's going to go. And he went completely like current day, how people treat each other. And he spent a long time on talking about this idea. It's a biblical term called shalom. And I thought he was going to talk about shalom as in people coming together in a church setting, maybe talking about maybe like some biblical stories about shalom. But he just talked about how we talk to one another the whole time. And he talked about, he went from like the internet, he talked about things that how we deal with each other on a social level today, and even terminology that we use today. And I never think he's going to go that way, but he did that week, and I thought he did a great job. What do you think?
Well, the thing I got from it was a little different. It's just the idea that when you look at the word shalom in the Bible, it's not peace like we think of when it comes like wartime.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have peace. We don't want to be at war with each other. Shalom's more things being as they should be. And it seems like he really came after that in the, because he goes through each of the different parts of our lives, marriages, politics, church, work. And how do we find shalom in every single one of those categories? Which I really liked. The thing that really stood out to me, though, was when he started talking about worry.
Okay.
And he said, I'm going to say something that's going to probably bother some of you and upset some of you, but worry is sin. And I'm actually going to fast forward a little bit. I don't normally do this, but he said it, and he said, if your feelings are hurt right now, well, then maybe you need to look at, are you spending all of your time worrying? But then fast forward to the end of the message, and he humanizes himself a little bit here, which was great. He says, if any of you have this worry thing figured out, and you don't worry, like your life is worry-free, he said, will you please disciple me? You know, so when Dave was saying worry is a sin, he wasn't saying it's a sin you're committing. He was saying it's a sin we are committing. And I really appreciated that, because he didn't come at that from a preachy standpoint where he's, you guys are sinning, you guys are doing awful. He came at it from the standpoint of, this is something we're all struggling with, myself included. And I love the allusion to when he first got married. And he said, you know, when we first got married, we just didn't have as much. But we also didn't have to worry as much. How did that relate to you? I know you've been married, what, almost 5 years now.
5 years
just
now.
Recently. And when you guys first started out, you were fresh out of college. Actually, I think your wife was actually still in college, wasn't she?
She was getting her master's. But so we were technically out of college, but she went back to get her master's.
So what was that like for you?
There was a little bit of worry involved. There wasn't much. And to this day, there's still not a lot. But what we realized with our worry was there's certain things that everyone gears towards worry about a certain topic or subject. My wife's is money. She worries about money a lot, that we're not going to have enough. I don't worry about money. That's something I've never worried about. I feel like God's going to take care of us whether we like it or not, as long as we just trust in Him. So we learned in an early time in our marriage, okay, well, I'm just going to do the finances. And then whenever we get in a tough spot, this is outside of big decisions, just the normal month-to-month thing. If we get in a tough spot, I'll let you know and we can talk about it. But beyond that, me and my wife don't talk about the month-to-month finances. I pay all the bills. I do everything. She writes the checks for me because nobody can read my handwriting. We learned at an early age, if somebody worries about something and the other person doesn't, the spouse will just take control of that so that we don't have that in our life. Because I don't know about you, but if somebody is worried all the time in a relationship, that relationship is just, it's kind of tense. It's kind of, you could use the word awkward almost.
Mm-hmm.
What they're worried about, because you're not worried about it, but they are, and you don't want to come off as like mean and say like, well, their feelings don't matter.
Right. You definitely don't want to do that.
No, because that will just cause frustration. But on a worry, because Dave talked about where your treasures are. You know, if you don't have a lot of things, you don't have to worry about. So he talked about like his mortgage, investments, all these different things, cars future. That he has, and thinking about the future and that, mm-hmm. retirement.
Yep.
And maybe I'm just not as far along as Dave is. I don't have a lot of, I don't have as many cars as Dave has because he has kids who drive now. I don't have as many investments.
You mean the fleet of Nissans?
His fleet of Nissans is,
yes,
yeah.
It's the, for those who are maybe listening for the first time or don't go to Catalyst, David Kibler is a huge Nissan fan.
Yes.
And not just a Nissan fan, but a fan of the Nissan Maxima specifically.
Yeah.
I think at one point he had the same model Nissan,
yep,
the same color,
yeah,
and three of them.
Three of them, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're
so,
they're just buried in years, but yeah, same make and model.
And now they're down to four.
Two Altimas.
And two Maximas.
Two Maximas.
Yeah, he loves those Nissans, man.
It blows my mind.
So Nissan, if you would like to sponsor this podcast, feel free.
Yeah.
We're not too proud. So.
But from a marriage standpoint, we do our best to not have any worries in our life,
mm-hmm.
and if we do, we need to talk about them. Just coming clean on me, I got a tad bit worried about this summer when it comes to our finances because of jobs changing. My wife subs. There's no subbing during the summer. So
yeah.
I kind of got scared a little bit, and I talked to her. I was like, hey, like, this is what my mindset, like, am I missing something? And from her standpoint, because she doesn't look at the finances, she doesn't see all the numbers, she doesn't have any worry about it. She said, she mentioned two things that we won't be paying for anymore in like a month. And that covers all the expenses that we won't have.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm good.
Well, I was going to say, one of my favorite things from yesterday's service wasn't even the sermon.
What was it?
It was one of our worship leaders.
Okay.
Emily Seagraves was sharing a testimony about her husband, who lost his job. His company actually ended up shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a casualty from that.
Yeah.
And he was only given so much severance because obviously if the company's shutting down, they don't have a lot of money to give. And about the time the money was going to run out, he had been looking, it had been 2 months.
Yep.
Been looking for a job. They said, God, we're just going to trust that in your time, when we need it, you're going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And the last week where the rest of the pay was going to dry up, he got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Started the next day.
Yep.
And they're working. And she said, now, I'm not going to say we didn't worry, because we did worry a little, but she goes, at some point we had to just go, okay, God, we're just going to trust you.
Yeah.
And you're going to take care of this.
Yep.
And like he always does, he came through.
But on your standpoint, from your life, you're in a different stage of life, even though I've technically been married longer.
Yeah, like 3 months or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got married later in life. You guys both had, I guess, considered careers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rhea, she had you guys, me and my wife did not. You had a house. She moved in with you. You guys already had stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where we had nothing.
Now just to clarify, she did not move in with me until after we got married.
Yes.
I just want to point that out for any of you people going, wait a second.
Yeah.
So this minister's living with his girlfriend. What's going on?
After you got married.
Yes.
She moved in with you.
Gotcha.
You didn't need anything.
Right.
But now you have kids.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when we got married, we had twice the student loans now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't think
You know,
think
we both
that.
Had student loans. Luckily, her car was paid off,
mm-hmm.
so we didn't have to worry about that. But she had to take on some of my debt, you know.
That's
so we combined things, and now honestly, the worry wasn't as much financial, probably as it was. Now I have this whole life that I'm responsible for.
Okay, yeah.
As a matter of fact, we joke that I never had a gray hair until we started dating, probably. Not one. And now they're starting to spackle all through this beard of mine, you know. And and then of course we had our daughter and. That wasn't really that hard. in all honesty, if I go back and look at it, I mean, there was some financial strain to an extent, but it wasn't until our son Jack came along and had an extended stay in the NICU, and we're still paying on that, you know, because it was several thousand dollars that we had to come up with to pay for that. Child care went from $360 a month to $800 a month, which is huge.
It's a lot of money.
Honestly, that's more than we pay for our house.
Yeah.
Which I understand our house payment's pretty low for a house, but I mean, it really did. It changed things dramatically. And then we're now doing two sets of diapers instead of one. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to buy special formula for him because he had digestive issues.
Yeah.
And so I think the worry was beforehand. I think once we got into it, we just had to focus on where we were and just had to let the worry go.
Yeah.
But I think the anticipation of it, I was more worried than once I actually got into it.
Yeah.
And at least for me in my life, I find myself when I worry, I don't worry about a situation when I'm in it as much, but I worry about what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always one of these people like to think three or four steps ahead.
Yeah.
And that's where I worry.
Yeah.
And that's where I freak out a little bit. And sometimes I have to draw back and go, hold up.
Yeah.
You've never fallen flat on your face before. God's always taken care of it.
Yeah.
He's provided when you need it. You know, the whole theme of shalom that day, yesterday, Dave even said, worry is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of shalom. Mm-hmm. And he's right, because when you worry, you're not at peace. Things aren't the way they should be. There's something in the system that's not right.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I got this chest thing. And every time I cough, and it's still a little bit there, I'll cough and I can just feel my whole chest, all the mucus vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an odd, gross, nasty feeling. And that happens because one little thing is wrong. It's not because everything's out of whack, it's just one little thing.
Yeah.
And your body reacts to that. And it tries to clean whatever that is out, and it tries to take care of it. And that's when chest congestion and sinus infections and all that happen. It could be something as small as a speck of dust could even cause that.
Mm-hmm.
And for worry and for being for something to be out of shalom, it can take one little thing.
Yep.
That can jack the whole thing up, and worry is so good at that.
Yeah.
It's just so good at messing everything up.
You said something in there that Dave talked about, how we don't need to worry about the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough worry in one day that we just focus on one day, let tomorrow figure itself out, essentially.
Yeah.
And I can agree with you on that I do that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
thinking about the future, especially in ministry during this time.
Yeah.
Most, every ministry except for youth ministry, slows down for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They slow down, but youth ministry, that's when you're focusing everything for the fall. That's when it's like, okay, now I have to work double time because I have to plan everything for the next year. And
you get like a week or two of a break.
Yeah.
It's kind of that, and then the huge exhale is the rest of the summer, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. So you have, like, you got camp in the middle of summer where you have to preach, like, 3-4 times. You have to put all the music together. You got to put all the graphics together. And then right after that, then you got a month to plan the entire next year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make all the plans. You got
to
book all
the budget to work on.
You got to, I didn't even think about the budget. You have to worry about the budget, make sure everything fits. Are you going to do any improvement? Like, there's all these things.
Wait a second, you don't just, like, play sit games. In a circle, play games, and then sing Kumbaya? Like, isn't that what youth ministry is?
I think that's... No.
No,
I wish.
No, that doesn't happen.
That's not what happens.
That does not happen.
So it's this planning for the future of, at what point does it become sin?
Mm-hmm.
Because you should plan for the future, and it's almost like this contrasting ideas, because... Even it's biblical to set up yourself for the next two generations.
Yes.
Like you should plan for the future so that you can help the next two generations out in your family.
I think you just answered the question though.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between planning and worrying.
Yes.
You know, you should plan. Planning is intelligent. Planning is wise.
Yep.
God wants us to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we freak out about our future.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think a lot of people my age especially, there's a lot of us who we just didn't plan for the future. We didn't plan our retirement. And because of our lack of wisdom in our 20s and 30s, here we are in our 40s trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And that's where the worry comes in. That's where the freak outs start out because We didn't start planning for retirement when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't start putting money away so that if the day was to come that we can actually stop working full time because of our age and inability to continue working, that we'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
So now we're in this place where we don't know if Social Security is going to be around
mm-hmm.
when we retire. We don't know what kind of finances we're going to have in place that we'll be able to not work.
Yeah.
That's why there are so many. If you look today, there are more 80-year-olds working today than probably at any time in American history.
It's true.
And it's because of the lack of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that thinking about the future is not bad. I think worrying about the future is where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
Because when you bring in worry, you bring in anxiety, you bring in heightened blood pressure. It again, like what Dave said earlier, or in his sermon, was it's the opposite of shalom. And because it's the opposite of shalom, it ends shalom.
Yeah.
It decimates it.
Yeah. I agree. And that's where you have to find that line.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be obsessive, and it can be, and obsessiveness brings in worry. Because when you obsess about it, you isolate yourself, and then you freak out.
Yeah.
Every single time. It's without a doubt, it's going to happen. But Dave went on and talked about shalom in different places that we deal with every single day. He talked about the workplace. He talked about politics. He talked about the church. And he talked about shalom to our eternity. What do you think about when you talked about shalom in our marriages?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I really think most worry in marriage comes around finances.
Okay.
I rarely see, and I've been in ministry for, 23 years?
Yeah.
And in the last 23 years of ministry, I would say 95, 98% of marriages that have ended started with fights over finances.
Okay.
They started in that arena.
Yeah.
Where, like you said, we're having trouble paying the bills.
Yeah.
You know, how can you go on a fishing trip, but we can't pay the house payment?
Mm-hmm.
How can you buy that new outfit and those shoes when we can't pay for the car?
Yeah.
And those arguments, it always seems to come back to that.
Yeah.
And because that's not where it should be, then you find these other areas. And then Dave also talked about this idea of love and respect. He actually did Ephesians 5:33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Yeah.
And men and women are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say this, I'm not saying all, because there are women who want respect sometimes more than they want love. And there are some men who want to be loved more than they want to be respected.
Yes.
I understand that, but we're talking on the majority level here. And on the majority level, women want to be loved by their husbands.
Yes.
They want to be desired by their husbands.
Yes.
They want their husband to look on them in such a way that they think that their wife is the most beautiful woman
mm-hmm.
to walk into the room. And for men, they want their wives to see them with respect, to not look down on them. Guys who have no respect from their wives are shells.
Yeah.
I know one guy in particular who, for years, his wife just basically beat him down. He was never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
He never made enough money. He wasn't a good father. All these different things. And in the end, when she passed away, he had no way of taking care of himself because he felt completely worthless.
Yeah.
He felt like he was nothing. And as a result, his daughter now has to take care of him because he doesn't think he can do it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And not because he can't, but because he's been told for years he was worthless. He was told for years he was incapable of being a man.
Yeah.
And that's horrible. And in the same vein, you see women who their husbands watch movies with these beautiful women and they comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're walking down the street and she sees her husband's eyes turn to look at this girl as she walks by. And it destroys the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the wife sees herself as unloved.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, you see that this woman becomes a shell of herself.
Yeah.
because she feels like she's not good enough because her husband doesn't love her. Mm-hmm. And so these two things are very important.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how that can really just railroad everything within a marriage. Yeah. I mean, how about you? Where are you at with all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've seen marriages my entire life. The marriage has not gone away.
No.
People still get married to this day. And we should continue to get married. But I've seen both sides. So I've seen the wife who beats down her husband. Mm-hmm. And what will actually end up happening is if you call your husband stupid. Like, he does every guy does stupid stuff. I've preached sermons on and made jokes about how guys just do dumb things. And instead of encouraging, they call their husband stupid. Like, you dummy, how can you do that? That's what I see the most common. Mm-hmm. Or if a husband forgets something, because we forget things all the time.
And so do our wives.
But whenever it happens, instead of making being graceful and forgiving and encouraging, it's like you get beat down. Mm-hmm. And then it's more and more and more. And what guys will end up doing is eventually they'll never be able to make a decision.
No.
They'll be so scared to do anything.
They don't want to screw up.
They don't want to screw up. And it allows them to be incapable of living life. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side, it's the same thing that you said. I've seen marriages where the husband will just do whatever he wants. He doesn't acknowledge his wife. He doesn't love her. He doesn't give her compliments. He doesn't make her feel like the most special thing in the world. And I've seen this more in relationships, non-marriages too, and then a woman gets out of a relationship and she never is able to date again because she's so terrified of that one thing that happened in her life. Mm-hmm. I've seen it just as easy as one comment. The whole relationship was great, but one comment that the husband made dictated the way that woman viewed men or just relationships in general for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Well, I think, you nailed that.
Yeah.
I think as husbands, we should let our wives know how much we appreciate their beauty.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how many women I've talked to, their husbands never tell them they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They never tell them they're beautiful. How can you marry somebody
yeah.
who you don't think is beautiful? I mean, yeah. I think my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
And so I let her know that mm-hmm. multiple times throughout the week,
yeah.
if not multiple times in a day.
Yeah.
Especially when I see that she's dressed up and she's trying really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to know, first off, you don't need to try because you're beautiful without
yeah.
it. But yeah. you tried really hard and you definitely succeeded. You look yeah. incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to know that. Yeah. And I want her to know I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many guys, they just, maybe it's because we just grow so used to each other.
Yeah.
And that we see each other so often.
Yep.
That we get this place of comfort where
yeah.
we don't think to make those comments.
Yeah.
But our wives need that.
Yeah, they do.
They need to know we love them, and they mm-hmm. need to know that we think they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And honestly, I enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
I enjoy yeah. telling my wife she's beautiful yeah. because I think she is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ladies watching, guys need to be uplifted.
Yes.
We want to be the rock of the family. We want to be this macho man for you.
Yes.
But we fail sometimes, mm-hmm. and we need you to be our biggest cheerleaders of all time.
Absolutely.
My wife doesn't like when I say this or to her, but sometimes, even though she's one of my youth volunteers, she's like, well, what's my job for them? I'm like, well, you're supposed to just be there and love on kids. And she goes, no, I want like a specific thing I'm in charge of. I'm like, I need you to be there just for me. Like, I just need you to be there. And she's like, really? That's it? I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I just want you to, if I have a choice between you and another volunteer, I will choose you every time because I want you there
yeah.
to encourage me because mm-hmm. I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, that's one of the things I love about my wife. If I can brag on her for a second.
Absolutely.
Which I like doing.
Yeah.
Never has my wife ever taken the opportunity to demean me. She doesn't take time when something doesn't go as planned or she doesn't like how something was done. She doesn't ever call me stupid or idiot. Yeah. She doesn't beat me down. She doesn't get into an attack mode. She loves.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I just genuinely love about my wife is her ability to love so intentionally and in such a way that I never feel like she's ever talking down to me.
Yeah.
I've seen what that does to other guys, and I really just hate seeing that.
Yeah.
My wife has the utmost respect for me. I would say she's probably my biggest fan.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about her. She, that doesn't mean that when things aren't the way they should be, she doesn't talk to me about that.
Yeah.
But she never comes at me in a disrespectful way. And in the cases where maybe that's happened, it's usually because of a lack of sleep, or she's sick, or she's pregnant, and so she got a 2-year pass on that one. Yeah. You know, because we had the kids right after each other. But I love that about my marriage, is I never really have to worry about the idea of my wife not respecting me.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I'm going to skip forward just a little bit on what Dave talked about. He talked about how he loves the fact that him and his wife agree on their faith.
Yeah.
He loves the fact that his wife is just a rock star when it comes to and sharing her faith and showing her faith. And that is, I can agree with that. It's so cool to see, like, you and your wife, see Dave and his wife, see Jenny and Paul talking and just agreeing on the fact that there is a God, and that it doesn't matter what they do, God is the most important thing, and they get to celebrate whenever something awesome happens. It's not anything that they did. It's everything that God did. And that just changes the relationship. And he also mentioned some other things, like there's some people in the church that just aren't in relationships or shouldn't be in certain relationships because they don't agree on faith-wise. And it is so awesome. And I feel bad for some people that they don't get to experience that.
Right.
They don't get to experience the fact that their spouse doesn't agree with them on a spiritual level. But it just makes things so much easier.
It does.
It really does.
Well, you know, going from that into the church.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the things that Dave talked about. I love this church. And this church understands shalom.
Yeah.
And I trace it back to when Dave started this whole, he came up with a saying, Sundays are for worship only.
Yeah.
And this idea that we don't come Sunday mornings with an agenda. We're not going to go to somebody and complain because we don't like something, because the music was too loud, the music was too quiet, there wasn't enough communion, the carpet's the wrong color, one of the kids drew on a wall.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to do that stuff on Sundays.
Yeah.
Sundays we're coming and we're going to worship.
Mm-hmm.
If something's important enough, we can deal with it on Monday.
Yeah.
So unless the church is on fire, somebody just had a heart attack in children's ministry,
we're
not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really brought this sense of shalom to our Sunday mornings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been in ministry for a long time, and I've never found so much peace on Sunday mornings as I do here.
Yeah.
On the Sundays when I come, I come excited and ready and relaxed. And the Sundays that I'm on the worship team and I'm leading worship, I come just ready. Mm-hmm. And we rehearse and we have the best time.
Yep.
Because there's no agendas.
Yep.
And the thing I love about this church is people come early, they get a cup of coffee, and they just hang out.
Yep.
And when church starts, they're not seated.
No.
Because they're hanging out. And that they're watching that timer. When that timer gets close to zero, you see people start scurrying to their seats because they know it's coming and they're anticipating it.
Yep.
But then even when church is over, they don't leave.
No.
They stick around. They want to hang out with people. It's not just a service you attend.
Mm-hmm.
It's your friends, your family, your community, and they want to come and spend time with them.
Yeah.
And I love that about this church. It's just such a loving, amazing group of people.
Yeah. Dave said it at the end of his message that every staff meeting on Mondays, we have staff meeting, we always say the phrase, we have the best people.
Every time.
Every single time. And we say that we pray and we're thankful for every single person that's here at Catalyst and part of what we're doing. And that's so true.
It is.
I do believe that we have the best people. I've been a part of many churches Not as many as you. Actually, not even as close as many as you. But I've been a part of quite a few churches, and I'm not talking negatively about them.
No, not at all.
But man, we have the best people.
Yeah,
we really do. I love coming on Sunday mornings. People don't understand how hard it is for ministers to come to church on Sundays sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know that it seems like our job is just like Sundays. It's our job just seems like, your only job is Sunday. Mm-hmm. But most ministers enjoy the Monday through Saturday far more than they do the Sunday morning. But
Sad. For
us, that Sunday morning is like the best.
Absolutely.
We get to see everybody. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love it. Absolutely. Well, I think we covered most of what Dave... I mean, we didn't cover, actually.
No, there's so much more to this, but I don't think there's enough time in the day, and I don't know if we have that many gigabytes we're allowed to upload onto YouTube to do this. So, I thought Dave's message was phenomenal. It's needed.
Yep.
There's not enough shalom in people's lives.
Mm-mm.
And people just really need to get a grasp of that and understand it.
Yeah.
And I thought Dave just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I guess almost halfway through this series,
mm-hmm.
Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, now we're not. We got a couple more weeks before halfway. But me and you were together for
A while
until the last week of June.
And then you're preaching.
Then I preach, and then you got 4 weeks in a row. So
which don't beat me up.
Me too.
Don't beat me up on those.
What are they going to say about what I prepared? But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
And for those who are listening, if you've felt encouraged or just feel like more people need to hear what we had to say, why don't you go ahead and share it? Share it on our social media platforms because I do believe what we're doing here at Catalyst really needs to be shared. The message of Jesus is just so powerful. It needs to be shared through everyone. If you want to be notified when we upload one of these, if you are on Podbean, you can just subscribe. It'll go right to your phone. Or if you're on Apple Podcast, if you subscribe to it, it'll go right to your phone. It'll update every week on Wednesday. If you're on YouTube, why don't you go ahead and subscribe? And if you want to be notified, you got to make sure you hit that bell.
Yep.
And you'll get an email for it. Like and comment as well. We love to hear and see all the comments and all the YouTube videos. If you have any questions, contact us. We love to receive feedback on what you think is going on here. But do you have anything else for them before?
I'm just going to go get a cup of coffee and chill for a little bit.
Coffee sounds fantastic. I think we should do that.
Yeah.
But that has been the Midweek Podcast. I hope you've been encouraged, and we'll see you next Wednesday.